Good morning. Welcome to our services. Appreciate each of you being with us as we share together and worship the Lord. As Tommy mentioned this morning, we're here to worship God, but on Mother's Day, it's the time we honor our mothers, and actually that's a part of worshiping God. Why? Scripture teaches us to honor our father and mother. Now, certainly we're here to honor God because He is the one who has created us, and on this Mother's Day, we remember that we are all created in the image of God and by Him and for His purposes. And certainly we honor our mothers this day as creations of God and thank God for His wisdom in creating that special gender with that special privilege of being a mom. So happy Mother's Day. I was blessed to have a wonderful, godly mother. She's been gone now since 2003, been a few years ago since she passed. But I praise God for her. She was a Christian, and I'm a Christian because she was a Christian. My father was not a believer when I was growing up. My mother was. We went to church regularly. She made sure I even studied Sunday school lessons at home before coming back to services and Sunday school class, so I'd be boned up. She knew I needed a little extra help. You know what I mean? My mom was not perfect, but my mom was a godly woman. Now, unfortunately, during my teenage years, her MPQ went down. You say, what's that? That's the mother's performance quotient. You know, every teenager carries a little mother's performance quotient in his back of his brain and thinks, how's mom doing at being my mom today? Well, during the teenage years, that quotient slipped a little bit. It wasn't her fault. It was my fault. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? But I knew my mom loved me no matter what. And I didn't always understand her logic, but I always knew her heart. I remember one time when I was coming back from college. I'd been away at school for a freshman year. Came back, and I was going out that night with some friends and saying, bye, Mom, see you later. And she said, well, when are you going to be home? I said, Mom, I've been away at college for 9 months. You have not asked me when you're going to be home. I'll be all right. She said, Mom, I just didn't want to worry about you. Just tell me when I need to start worrying about you. Stop worrying about you. You see, our moms never stop worrying about us, do us? I was a little ashamed for my behavior then. Now I understood that she was not trying to control me. She was trying to be concerned for me. And mothers never stop being mothers. I realize Mother's Day is also a little bit difficult for some of those who have not had good relationships, a mother who didn't serve as they should have, times when maybe you wanted to be a mom and couldn't be a mom, and situations were not appropriate. We understand that these days can be difficult days. We want to honor that as well. This morning, I'd like us to take a few moments to look at a character of Scripture you probably don't know by name. If I was to give a Bible quiz today, most of you would say, who's Jochebed? Who in the world is Jochebed? A little biblical trivia. You can win next time on the trivia game. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. We're going to take a look at her and her motherhood, what we know of it, and what we might be able to infer from what we know about Moses, and see how God used this woman for His purposes. And ladies, how you can serve in a godly way as a mother today to your children, and even to your grandchildren or others. You know, the Bible is surprisingly silent about so many details. What we do know is the basic story. The Israelites came to Egypt to escape the famine of Jacob's time. Unfortunately, as they began to multiply, the Egyptians became fearful of them and enslaved them. That became worrisome and difficult for the Israelites. And the Israelites decided, of course, that they needed a Savior, didn't they? No. God decided they needed a Savior. They needed a Moses. Someone to lead them out of Egyptian bondage. Someone to lead them across the Dead Sea with the help of God. Someone to lead them through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Someone who could be a great leader to go against Pharaoh. But how was to Moses to come about? Moses, you see, was the grown son of Jochebed. Moses is what Jochebed had been doing and preparing for many, many years, but she didn't know God's plan. God knew His plan. What we do find is when Moses was born, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was very concerned about these multiplying Israelites. And slavery for them was not enough. So what did he do? He gave an order that all the male babies of the Israelites had to be thrown into the Nile River, i.e. drowned. That's not going to set too well with the moms of Israel, is it? What we find is Jochebed figured out a way to get rid of this situation. First, when Moses was born, she tried to hide him. But how long can you hide a screaming kid? The Bible says she hid him for 3 months, but eventually kids get found out, don't they? Another plan had to come. So Jochebed thought of a plan. She took baby Moses and made a little basket and floated it in the edge of the Nile River among the reeds and sent Moses' older sister down to watch what was going to happen. And lo and behold, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the Nile and saw the little baby in the basket and looked at him. Oh, he's a cute little thing. Well, he's one of the Hebrew children. Picked him up, loved on him for a moment, and then in walks Miriam. And Miriam's got wisdom and says, would you like me to get a Hebrew woman to nurse this child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter says, well, yes, that sounds like a grand idea. So Miriam goes and gets Jochebed, Moses' real mother, and says, hey, come here. Look how God's working. Pharaoh's daughter wants you to nurse the baby. She might even get paid for it. Wouldn't you like to be paid to raise your kids? Wouldn't that have been great? There's the irony of God's providence. Miriam, who was there at the right time, God arranging the circumstances, Jochebed having the wisdom of the plan, and lo and behold, Jochebed gets to raise little baby Moses right underneath the eyes of the Egyptians, and maybe even get paid for it. How can you beat that? But then when you think on the story, things get a little difficult for Moses. He was raised, yes, for a period of time under his mother's tutelage, but as he grew older, he had to go to Egyptian school. He had to go to learn the Egyptian court ways because he was considered the adopted daughter of Pharaoh's daughter. So he had to learn the Egyptian ways of life. And Jochebed had to give up that dear son to the Egyptian court. And time went on, and then Moses, knowing that he was an Israelite, saw an Egyptian beat and kill a Hebrew. And his temper flared, and he killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand, thought it was all undercover. But word got out. And Moses was a wanted man. So he had to flee into the desert. So at age 40, Moses flees into the desert, into the wilderness. And he spends 40 years in the wilderness. Jochebed at this time is, we don't know how old, but let's say she had Moses at 20 or 30. By the time Moses is 80, Jochebed is likely dead. And probably thinks, my son was all washed out. He murdered a man. He fled out into the desert. That was the story of Moses. That's all I know. Well, you see, that's not the end of the story for Moses. And sometimes mothers don't realize what's going to become of their child later in life. Moms, you may not know the full story of your child's life. Some of that may be lived after you're gone. But mothers plant seeds that grow into trees that they may never sit under. This morning I'd like to share with you some of the characteristics of what we can infer about Jochebed from Scripture. That is Moses' mom. The first is Moses' mom saw him as special. Exodus chapter 2 verse 2 says, she saw that he was a fine child. Now I don't know about you, but every mother thinks their child a fine child. Have you noticed that? Now, we guys, we look at somebody else's baby and we say, yeah, that's a baby. Yeah, that's a baby. That's about all you can say. It's a baby. The ladies look at a baby and go, oh, how cute and gorgeous he is. Well, you see, we guys don't see things that way. But Jochebed saw in Moses something special. She saw he was a fine child, Exodus chapter 2. There's an old saying from Garrison Keillor, Lake Wobegon days. You've probably heard of Lake Wobegon, that fictitious town. Garrison Keillor said, in Lake Wobegon, all the children are above average. All of them. Now, statistically, that doesn't work, but relationally, it works pretty well. I got a feeling that Jochebed looked at Moses and said, he's a fine child. He's above average. He's special. There's a saying in the South, every mother crow thinks her little crow is the blackest. Every mother thinks their baby's the most cute, the most wonderful, the most intelligent. And brothers and sisters, isn't that the way it ought to be? Moses' mom saw potential in Moses, possibly when others didn't. I don't know. Moses' mom was also creative during a crisis. When Pharaoh decreed that all the male babies of the Hebrews had to be thrown into the Nile River, first she hid the son, and then later she put him in this little basket, floated him in the Nile, and arranged for Miriam to watch and see what happened and see what God would do. Mothers, being a mom means you know how to deal with a crisis, because children are a perpetual crisis. Have you noticed that? Kids are a perpetual crisis. Something's coming up every day, sometimes every minute, this thing and that thing. Moses' mom knew how to deal with a crisis. And Moses' mom was creative during that crisis. She thought outside the box. She did things differently than anyone else was doing. I don't think she looked up in the book and said, oh, if Pharaoh's trying to kill my baby, put him in a basket and float him in the Nile, see what happens. No. She just thought outside the box, and lo and behold, with God's providential leadership, Moses was saved. The only guarantee in raising children, by the way, is life will not go according to plan. I guarantee you that. Moses' mom was trustworthy. She could keep a secret. Sometimes it's hard to keep a secret, especially when it's good news, isn't it? You see, Moses and Jochebed were both Hebrews. And Moses, no doubt, was told many times by his mother his real identity. You are a Hebrew. You are my flesh and blood son. But they couldn't tell anyone else about it. Because as the word got out that Jochebed was really the mother, the physical mother of Moses, and not just the maid who was raising Moses for Pharaoh's daughter, talk about a scandal and talk about somebody going to the guillotine, if they had guillotines back in those days. It would have been the end of Jochebed and the end of Moses if the secret got out. So Jochebed and Moses had that secret that was communicated between the two of them, but nobody else was supposed to know. Trustworthy moms know how to keep a secret. They know when to speak up and when not to speak up, just like Jochebed did. Jochebed's mom, or Moses' mom, Jochebed, also taught him his true identity. How do I know that? Well, by a little inference. You see, when Moses saw the Hebrew being mistreated by the Egyptian, Moses got really mad and killed the Egyptian, didn't he? How did he know to defend a Hebrew? He had been taught he was a Hebrew. He had been taught who he was. Jochebed had taught her son in his tender years when he was being nursed by her that he was truly a Hebrew. He was not really an Egyptian. He was not really the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was really her son. Mothers today need to teach their children their true identity, who they really are and whose they really are. In this world today, it's very easy for letting the culture decide who you are and what your values are. But Jochebed wouldn't hear for that. Yes, in his later years, as probably a teenager, Moses was taken into the court of Egypt and schooled in all the ways of the Egyptians, the scripture says. But he maintained his Hebrew identity. Why? Because his mother had taught him who he was and who he was. Mothers, teach your children about God. Teach your children about godly values. Teach them about who they are in Christ. Just like Jochebed had taught Moses who he really was. We're all made in the image of God. All human beings have been created by God. There's an unseen but powerful force in the universe we know as our God. We teach our children the truth of the gospel because they're not going to learn it apart from us. Moses' mom taught Moses his true identity. Moses' mom also knew how to let go. And boy, isn't that tough. Verse 10 of chapter 2 of Exodus. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, her adopted son. We don't know how old Moses was when he transferred to under the tutelage of Pharaoh's daughter, but it was evidently old enough to have been taught by Jochebed who he was and some basics of the Hebrew God. We don't know if he was 6, if he was 8, if he was 10, we were 12. I don't know. But I'm sure it was hard for Jochebed to say goodbye to Moses. You see, Moses had been in Jochebed's household from the days of infancy. And now she had to give him over to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised in the courts of Egypt. I know when I left for school at age 18 to go away to college, my mom tried tears. I didn't understand why she was crying. But the time I sent my son and my daughter away to college when they were 18, I understood why she was crying. Because I was too. It's hard to let your kids go. You raise your children for a number of years. They're in your household. They're under your guidance, your tutelage. And then all of a sudden they get to that point and it's time to go join the military. It's time to go get that job and move away. Or it's time to go off to college and life changes and mothers have to learn to say goodbye. And Jochebed knew how to say goodbye. But she also knew she'd laid the foundation of faith in her son's heart. Moms invest in their sons and daughters, know that one day they're going to leave and leave an empty nest behind. One day their children's bedrooms will be empty. One day the grocery bill will be cut to one-third what it's been in the past. And one day there will be no mud tracked in on the kitchen floor. Mothers know that day is coming. And that day comes, and the nest is empty. The house is quiet, and sometimes the heart aches. Moses' mom knew how to let go, as hard as it was, and she let Moses go to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised in the Egyptian court as per the agreement. Godly moms know that their kids are really God's kids. And we just get to keep them for a few years at our house. We know the rest of the story. We know how God called Moses to return to Egypt at age 80 and lead his people out of slavery. Now, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is by the time Moses came back to Egypt at age 80, Jochebed was probably passed on. If Moses had been born to her when she was, say, 20 or 30, she was likely had passed on. We know how God used Moses to demonstrate God's power over the Egyptian king's power and the power of the Egyptian gods represented by the magic and the wizards of Egypt. We know about those 10 plagues that God empowered Moses to prove to the Egyptian Pharaoh how powerful the God of heaven is. We remember the stories, how Moses was able to bring together over 500,000 people that were Israelites and lead them out of Egyptian bondage. You can't get 500,000 people up the freeway over here. And Moses got them out of Egypt. God used this man that Jochebed raised to do his will. And she may never have seen it. Moms, you may never live to see the final chapter in the life of your children. You may not realize what they do in middle life or later life. You may not realize the blessing they are to others in their golden years. You may not see what they have been prepared to do because you rocked the cradle and you taught them and you loved them and you trained them in the ways of God and righteousness. Only in heaven will you see the rest of the story. Only in heaven will you see the generations of life that have been changed because of how you've raised your children. It's been said anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple. but it's very difficult to find the number of apples that come from a single seed. And so it is with our children. We don't know the good that our children will do over the years, in the generations to come, because we invested in them and we cared for them and we loved for them and we provided for them. We may not live to see that good that we started when we gave to our kids. But that's why we sow, and that's why we water, and that's why we train, and that's why we love, and that's why we invest in our kids. Because the motherhood calling is a heavenly calling and a wonderful calling and a calling of hope for the world, because mothers cared enough to give their very best. Thank you, moms, for your faith and your faithfulness. And all of us who reflect back on our mothers, as I reflected today upon mine, I thank God for the faithfulness of my mom, and that she was a believer in Christ. And she taught me about Scripture, and she taught me about God, and she showed me the way of righteousness. And yes, she disciplined me too. We got to get that one in there. I thank God for someone who loved me enough to guide me and to point the way. She doesn't know I'm preaching this sermon today. She's been gone since 2003. But I thank her for it. Let's pray. Father, your wisdom is beyond ours. Father, your wisdom is so far beyond ours because you have given us mothers. You have given us those to guide us and to train us, to love us, to discipline us, and Father, to provide for us. Lord, thank you for the gift of our moms this day. As we reflect on how our mothers have blessed us, Lord, we just simply say thank you to you. Lord, you created this way. You created male and female. You created the instincts within the ladies to serve in that nurturing way that we needed. Thank you, Father, for the beauty that you've given us in our moms. And Father, even when our moms have been marred by sin, we recognize, Lord, that it's goodness that's inherent in them by your creation. Father, for those that are still living among us, we give you thanks and we pray that they might know how much we value them. For the moms in active duty service with children living under their roof this day, I pray that you would give them a higher sense of their calling to serve. Help them, Father, and lift up their hands and so their hands grow weary in well-doing. Help them, Father, to do the job you've called them to. We pray for our nation and our world, Lord, that mothers might arise to the occasion of doing what you've created them to do and to be. Guide their steps. Thank you for blessing us with mothers who cared. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, be a mother of God. Men, be thankful for a mate who follows the Lord. This morning we're going to close with the Lord's invitation. We've talked about the last several weeks the importance of giving your life to Jesus, surrendering your all to Him in faith, repentance, and baptism. It's not optional in Scripture. It's required if you're going to heaven. If you're going to be right with God, your sins have to be taken care of by the blood of Jesus. They can be taken care of even this morning if you choose to surrender in faith, repentance, and baptism in the Lord. We stand ready to help you. We're going to sing the invitation song. If you're outside of Christ, what better day than today to be inside of Christ and respond to His call? Let's stand together and let's sing.